Turning tonight in the Word of God to 2 Chronicles and the chapter 34. 2 Chronicles 34, and we're looking at verse 14 through to 33. So 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter, and commencing to read at verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, All that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and Shaphan the scribe and Isaiah a servant of the king's, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tikvath, the son of Hazram, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell ye the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that he might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see of the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing onto the reading of what is a wonderful passage in the Lord's Word. very positive and encouraging, and one that points the way for us so clearly as we look forward into the future. Now, what we did say the other day was we were going to be looking at the covenant that Christmas Evans entered into. And I felt this would be a good night to do it, as we're bridging from one year, the old one of 2021, into the new of 2022. So, Christmas Evans and covenanting before God, or making covenants with God. Christmas Evans earned the nickname the John Bunyan of Wales. But why do people ever consider that would be appropriate to call this man the Bunyan of Wales? Well, it was because of his style of preaching. He developed a very unique and imaginative preaching style. And people said you should not even try to imitate him, because when people did that, it did not work at all. It went down like a lead balloon, and that's always the case. His sermons, they were very full of pictures. And I'm going to give you an excerpt or two from his sermons, and that'll give you an idea of how he typically preached. So here's a sermon preached by Christmas Evans on the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, and just a paragraph, of course, out of that or thereabouts. Here's what he said. Saul of Tarsus was once a thriving merchant and an extensive ship owner. He had seven vessels of his own, the names of which are, number one, circumcised the eighth day, number two, off the stock of Israel, ship number three, off the tribe of Benjamin, number four, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, number five, as touching the law, a Pharisee, and then number six, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And Evans went on to say the seventh, that final ship, was a man of war, with which he once set out from the port of Jerusalem, well supplied with ammunition from the arsenal of the high priest, with a view to destroy a small port at Damascus. He was wonderfully confident and breathed out threatenings and slaughter. But he hadn't got far from the port before the gospel ship, with Jesus himself as commander on board, hove in sight and threw such a shell among the merchant fleet that all his ships were instantly on fire. The commotion was tremendous, and there was such a volume of smoke that Paul could not see the sun at noon. While the ships were fast sinking, the gospel commander gave orders that the merchant should be taken on board. "Saul, Saul, what has become of all thy ships?" "They are all on fire," Saul replied. "What will you do now?" "Oh, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." And then there was that sermon mentioned tonight in the quiz, on account of which he became very, very famous, and it's known as classic, and it has been reprinted many, many times, the Graveyard Sermon. "Methinks I find myself standing upon the summit of one of the highest of the everlasting hills, permitted from thence to take a survey of the whole earth, and all before me I see a wide and far spread burial ground, a graveyard, over which he scattered the countless multitudes of the wretched and perishing children of Adam. The ground is full of hollows, the yawning caverns of death, and over the whole scene broods a thick cloud of darkness. No light from above shines upon it. There is no ray of sun or moon. There is no beam, even of a little candle, seen through all its borders. It is walled all around, but it has gates, large and massive, 10,000 times stronger than all the gates of brass forged among men. They are one and all safely locked, The hand of divine law has locked them, and so firmly secured are the strong bolts that all the created powers, even of the heavenly world, were they to labor to all eternity, could not drive as much as one of them back. How hopeless is the wretchedness to which the race is doomed. Into what irrecoverable depths of ruin has sin plunged the people who sit there in darkness and in the shadow of death, while there by the brazen gates stands the inflexible guard, brandishing the flaming sword of undeviating law. But see, in the cool of the day, there is one descending from the eternal hills in the distance. It is Mercy, the radiant form of Mercy, seated in the chariot of divine promise. She wept over the melancholy scene, and she said, "Oh, that I might enter! I would bind up their wounds. I would relieve their sorrows. I would save their souls." Now, that graveyard sermon was preached just after Christmas Evans had scrambled out of his own spiritual graveyard. When the heresies of Sandemanianism had rolled over into his spirit and frozen everything, quenched the spirit of prayer for the conversion of sinners, robbed him of the strength that clothed his mind with zeal and confidence and earnestness when he got into the pulpit, gave him a cold heart toward Christ and his sacrifice and the work of his spirit, and built up mountains of snow and frost within him. But out of that state of coldness, God mercifully delivered Christmas Evans. And he was helped in no small measure by climbing up around Cader Idris, doing business with God on that hill, and out of that transforming experience that day, he covenanted with the Lord. Under a deep sense of the evil of his own heart, in dependence upon the infinite grace and merit of the Redeemer, he said, "I made a solemn covenant with God." Very like King Josiah that we read about tonight in 2 Chronicles 34, 31, "And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book." And so on the cusp of a new year, when New Year's resolutions are thrown about like confetti, it will be very beneficial for us to make some spiritual resolutions. And I suggest we cannot improve upon the terms of the covenant of Christmas Evans made those many years ago. So pardon the old language, but you'll get the spirit and the meaning very readily from what Christmas Evans covenanted with God back then. Here's what he said. Number one, "I give my soul and body unto thee, Jesus the true God, and everlasting life." Number two, "I call the day, the sun, the earth, the trees, the stones, the bed, the table, and the books to witness that I come unto thee, Redeemer of sinners, that I may obtain rest for my soul from the thunders of guilt and the dread of eternity." Number three in the covenant, "I do, through confidence in thy power, earnestly entreat thee to take the work into thine own hand and give me a circumcised heart, that I may love thee, and create in me a right spirit, that I may seek thy glory." Number four, "I entreat thee, Jesus, the Son of God, in power grant me, for the sake of thine agonizing death, a covenant interest in thy blood which cleanseth, in thy righteousness, which justifieth, and in thy redemption, which delivereth. Part 5 in that covenant, O Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, take, for the sake of thy cruel death, my time and strength and the gifts and talents I possess, which, with a full purpose of heart, I consecrate to thy glory in the building up of thy church in the world. Number 6, I desire thee, my great high priest, to confirm by thy power from thy high court my usefulness as a preacher and my piety as a Christian, as two gardens might to each other, that sin may not have place in my heart to becloud my confidence in thy righteousness, and that I may not be left to any foolish act that may occasion my gifts to wither, and I be rendered useless before my life ends. We are halfway through. Number 7 on his covenant. I give myself in a particular manner to thee, O Jesus Christ the Savior, to be preserved from the falls into which many stumble, and that thy name in thy cause may not be blasphemed or wounded. Number 8. I come unto thee, beseeching thee to be in covenant with me in my ministry. Whatsoever things are opposed to my prosperity, remove them out of the way. Work in me everything approved of God for the attainment of this. Give me a heart sick of love to thyself and to the souls of men. Grant that I may experience the power of thy word before I deliver it, as Moses felt the power of his own rod before he saw it on the land and waters of Egypt. Number 9, grant me strength to depend upon thee for food and raiment, and to make known my requests. O, let thy care be over me as a covenant privilege betwixt thee and myself, and not like a general care to feed the ravens that perish and clothe the lily that is cast into the oven, but let thy care be over me as one of thy family. And that, of course, would be a good prayer to offer as we enter this year. Number 10, grant, O Jesus, and take upon thyself the preparing of me for death, for thou art God. There is no need for thee to speak the word. If possible, thy will be done. Leave me not long in affliction, nor to die suddenly, without bidding adieu to my brethren, and let me die in their sight after a short illness. Let all things be ordered against the day of removing from one world to another, that there be no confusion nor disorder, but a quiet discharge in peace. Not that he's pleading, not that we're suggesting that we're wanting that to be fulfilled this coming year, but as a covenant before God, when the Lord's time comes, to die that way would be a major benefit. Number 11, grant, O blessed Lord, that nothing may grow and be matured in me to occasion thee to cast me off from the service of the sanctuary, like the sons of Eli. Let not my days be longer than my usefulness. Oh, let me not be like lumber in a house in the end of my days, in the way of others to work. And number 12, the final one, I beseech thee, O Redeemer, to present these my supplications before the Father, and O, inscribe them in thy book with thine own immortal pen, while I am writing them with my mortal hand in my book on earth. O, attach thy name in thine upper court to these unworthy petitions, and set thine amen to them, as I do on my part of the covenant. Amen. And what a covenant that is that Christmas Evans engaged in, and he signed it off as Christmas Evans, Clangefni, Anglesey, 10th of April. In closing, we repeat the words that we find in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 31, "And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book." So on top of any resolution we might make, may we make this kind of a covenant with God. I can't remember that. Of course you can't. That's why we'll put it up on the website, and you can check it out and read it all over again. It's freely available, of course, on the internet, but we'll put it up on the church's website, because I think it is so valuable and pertinent for us as children of God today.